Good morning to you. Will you turn to Genesis 37, please? This is the Joseph story about God's plan and human failure. God has plans for his people. And sometimes God's people fail badly. What happens then to God's plans? Genesis has been saying the same things as this all along, but we're moving toward the end of the Genesis story now, and it's even clearer in the Joseph story what has actually been going on right through the book of Genesis. When other people do things that injure you and mess up your life, how does that affect God's plans for you? When your own sins and failure mess up your life badly and damage other people, how does that affect God's plans for you? How does that affect God's plans for them? These are important questions for everyone, and they directly affect quite a few of us in this church. And the Joseph story in Genesis shows us human failures and God's plan in action together. So this story is mostly about Joseph and his brothers. We are now on the fourth generation of Abraham's family. Abraham and Sarah were the first generation. Second was their son Isaac and his wife Rebekah. Third was Isaac and Rebekah's son Jacob with Leah and Rachel. And now the story shifts to Jacob's 12 sons, which is the fourth generation. Joseph had a bad start. We're looking at the first 11 verses of Genesis 37. Joseph was 17, tending flocks with his 10 older brothers. And the first thing we hear about Joseph is that he brought their father a bad report about them. I grew up with three other brothers, and we did not tell on each other. And even if we really did not like what the brother had done, we did not very often tell our parents. That's normal among brothers. I don't know if it is the same with sisters, but I expect so. But there's something else here. The Hebrew word for bad report normally means misleading report. It means a story told to leave an impression that's not true. Genesis doesn't tell us what the brothers did, and it doesn't even tell us that they did anything wrong at all. Joseph told a story to get his brothers in trouble. That's the point. That is the first thing we learn about Joseph. And the word used for this story suggests there's something sour here. Two chapters later, Potiphar's wife told her husband that Joseph tried to rape her, which was not at all true. But Joseph got in big trouble. And the writer of Genesis wants us to connect that with what Joseph did to his brothers. Potiphar's wife did to Joseph what Joseph did to his brothers. So Jacob, the story goes on in Genesis, Jacob the father loved Joseph more than his brothers, and he made a special robe for him. And the result of all this was that the brothers hated Joseph. They grew up seeing their father treat Rachel, Joseph's mother, like gold, and seeing Jacob not care very much about their mothers, Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah. And they saw Leah and Rachel struggling against each other. So their brothers saw all of this. And Joseph saw all of this, and he felt special because his mother was Rachel. And Jacob's favoritism with his wives and his sons was part of his upbringing. His father, Jacob's father Isaac, preferred Esau, and his mother Rebekah preferred Jacob. So Jacob, the boy's father, continues what he grew up with, and his sons continue what they grew up with. They hated Joseph, and they had some reasons for this. Joseph had two dreams, and he told them to his brothers. The Bible does not tell us the dreams directly. Rather, we and the brothers listen together to Joseph. And both dreams say the same thing. Joseph told the brothers and us his dreams, that they will all bow down to him and he will rule over them. So we see that Joseph knows his brothers hate him, and he knows why, and he tells them the dreams to rub it in. They feel that, of course, and they hate him all the more. The dreams were undeniable. He did not have to be talking about it like that. We also see from these dreams that God has chosen Joseph for a special role. God plans to do something remarkable with Joseph's life. Is there any reason in Joseph why God would choose Joseph rather than one of the other brothers? None that Genesis knows about. Nevertheless, God had plans for Joseph. The next part of the story tells us that Joseph was sold by his brothers. I'm now doing verses 12 to 36 of chapter 37. The next time we hear about the brothers and their flocks, Joseph wasn't with them. He stayed at home. No surprise there, I suppose. So Jacob sent Joseph to find out how the brothers were doing. And I need to throw this in here. It is not just Joseph that will have a special role in God's plans. All 12 sons are the 12 tribes of Israel, who will bring God's blessing to all peoples on earth. This is not just any troubled family. This is the chosen family. And the troubled family will bring God's blessing to all because God has decided that. So when the brothers who are taking care of their flock see Joseph coming, they agree together that they will kill him and be done with him. Earlier in Genesis, Cain killed Abel, and Esau planned to kill his brother Jacob, although he did not, and now the 10 brothers plan to kill Joseph, and they probably would have. But Reuben, the oldest, talked them out of doing it right away, so they tore off Joseph's fancy robe. They hated that thing, and they threw him in a pit, and they sat down to enjoy lunch. And just then they saw traders going by, taking goods to Egypt. And Judah said, "Why not just sell them to these traders going to Egypt? That way we're not actually guilty of killing our brother, and we've gotten rid of him, and we'll make some money off of him." So that's what they did. They sold him as a slave to traders who took him to Egypt, and they made some money off him there. And so the brothers killed a goat, and they put the blood on Joseph's fancy robe, and they took it to their father Jacob to fool him. And it worked. Jacob was sure that a fierce animal had devoured Joseph. Many years earlier, young Jacob used a goat and his brother's clothes to deceive his father Isaac and steal the blessing. And now Jacob's sons use a goat and their brother's clothes to deceive their father Jacob. You use a goat and your brother's clothes to fool your father. It happened two generations in a row. That's the family of blessing. And Jacob mourned, and he would not be comforted. He dressed and acted like one in mourning, whatever the appropriate time would be. He never stopped. Until this all got cleared up, perhaps 20 years later, Jacob, the father, openly mourned. And the brothers saw this whenever they saw Jacob. They saw him mourning for the next 20 years. Joseph, a slave and a prisoner. Now we will skip chapter 38 and go to the first 23 verses of Genesis 39. So Joseph was a slave in Egypt, and then he was falsely accused, and then he was put in prison. And we don't know how long either one lasted, but together they lasted 13 years. He was 17 when he was sold by his brothers, and he was 30 when he got out of prison. But the most important part of those 13 years is what God was doing. I'm going to start in Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Verse 5, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Skip down to chapter 39, verse 20. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison ward. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now, people, did Joseph do anything at all to deserve all this from God? Joseph improved while he was in Egypt, but God started all this before that happened. What did Joseph do to deserve this? I'll tell you. He happened to be Abraham's great-grandson, and God had decided generations ago to bless Abraham and his descendants, and through that family to bless the world. That's all. That's what accounts for this. And understand what it means that God is with us. Four times in what I just read, it says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is always with us. We read that often in the Bible, but not just so we won't be lonely. God's with us doing things. He's paying attention to how others treat us. He's managing them as well as us. He's helping us do what he wants us to do. And we might say, God, if you're with me and blessing me and giving me success, why does my life have such disasters in it? And why do people mistreat me like this? And God would say, remember Joseph. He was hated by his own brothers. They sold him to human traffickers. And then he was a slave in a foreign country. And then he was falsely accused, and he was in prison in a foreign country, and he was there for years. And God would say, is your life that much worse than that? People did terrible things to Joseph, and God did not stop them. And at the same time, God was with Joseph powerfully, blessing him and giving him success. And Joseph was good for other people. God wanted Abraham's chosen family to bring God's blessing to the nation. And God did that. The Bible says the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Because Joseph was wonderful? No. Joseph is improving. But that's not why God blessed Potiphar. God wants to bless all the nations, and he's using his people to do that. Does Potiphar deserve this above other Egyptians? Not that we can tell. And then Potiphar believes a lie about Joseph and puts Joseph in prison. And that was good for the prison warden and for life in the prison. Because Joseph is wonderful? No. Because the prison warden is wonderful? No. God has plans to bless. Give this much to Joseph. He knows and trusts the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He will not sleep with Potiphar's wife because that would be a sin against God, and he tells her that. Joseph is Abraham's great-grandson, and he worships and serves that God, as did Jacob and Isaac before him, but not Ishmael, and Hagar, yes, but not Ishmael, and not Esau. So the only right thing Joseph has done so far was to flee from sexual immorality, and that matters, it counts, but Genesis does not give us that to explain God's blessing, and his obedience to God in that matter took him from the hard life of a slave to the worst life of a prisoner. That's one of the things that happens to people that trust our God. God's plans continue. This is the thing. The thing is, people, the failures of God's people do not stop God from bringing his blessing. He works with what happens. Here are important verses from the end of Genesis, chapter 50. Old Jacob has died, and the 10 brothers are afraid that since Dad is gone, Joseph will now kill them in revenge for selling him as a slave. And they come to Joseph, and they beg him for mercy. And Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish his purpose. The brothers did intend to harm Joseph. There's no doubt about that. And they injured him terribly. And God wanted Joseph in Egypt, and he used this terrible thing to accomplish that. And Potiphar's wife intended to harm Joseph and also caused a terrible wound by putting him in prison. And God's plan carried on. My brothers and sisters, we don't know what God's purposes are for any of us. We may have suffered wounds from those who intended to harm us. And these things often change the shape of our lives drastically. And as near as we can tell, we are changed for the worse. This all happened to Joseph, but God will use these things to accomplish his purpose if we will trust him and live in his ways. What does Peter say? At the end of 1 Peter, commit yourselves to your faithful Creator and continue to do good. He's speaking to people who are in a hard time. That's our business. God's purpose is God's business. Let's do our part. Trust him and do good. We have inherited Abraham's blessing. The one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Let's pray. O God, this fills us with hope. Would you really be with us and help us and bless us so that we accomplish your purpose and your will? Have you been caring for us like this all along? We know that in Christ we inherited the blessing you gave to Abraham, so it must be true of us. So thank you, and again we thank you. Lead us to do what Peter said. O God, we commit ourselves to you, our faithful Creator. We put our lives in your hands, and with your help, we will continue to do good. Amen. Will you rise, please, and we will give praise to God. Now to him who is able to work, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.